We'll make this an ongoing conversation with news your business can use, from traditional marketing to social media and email marketing. Mike Woody joins me in the first half hour. Next half hour, we're talking drugs and druggists. Our guest is Felix Gallagher of PharmServe, a staffing service Felix owns and operates right here out of Des Moines. We'll talk about how he started up his business, what niche he was filling, and how it's grown. In addition, Felix has just launched yet another service, fulfilling yet another niche. Great stories to help those of you realize your dream by building a successful startup. Felix Gallagher in the second half hour. When we come back, the news of the Des Moines metro business community. This is Insight on Business, back with more right after this.
Support for Insight on Business, the News Hour, comes from the Kramer Law Firm of West Des Moines, the Fireplace Superstore of Urbandale, and Remax Real Estate Concepts with offices throughout the metro.
You know, several folks have asked us how to connect your business with ours. You know, getting your press release to our newsroom is easy. Use your email and send it to iobnewsroom@gmail.com. If you have printed pieces, our physical address is Michael Libby at Insight Advertising, Marketing, and Communications. That's 2815 100th Street in Urbandale, Iowa. And that zip code is 50322. That was a thrilling ninth inning. The Cubs versus the Marlins. Chicago took it in the ninth and with a score of 9-7. According to published reports in the Des Moines Register, Apollo Global Management will reduce Aviva USA staff by about 10% once it completes its purchase of the West Des Moines-based insurer. The private equity firm purchasing Aviva USA sent a letter to its future staffers on Tuesday outlining its intention to eliminate 154 positions, including 90 here in Greater Des Moines. Aviva, which will be operated as Athene USA, currently employs approximately 1,500 people nationwide. Most of the layoffs will occur in the company's operations, sales, and distribution and information technology areas. In a related story from our doom and gloom department, it's being reported that the economic outlook for Iowa businesses is lower than last quarter, largely because of hesitation on hiring. That, according to the Iowa Business Council's overall Economic Outlook Survey Index, the quarterly survey reflects the attitude of the top executives of 21 of the largest businesses in the state, the three state university presidents, and the head of Iowa's largest banking association. The index for the third quarter was 61. An index score of 50 indicates an average business sentiment. The third quarter index is 3 points lower than the score for the last quarter, but the same as it was a year ago at this time. The largest number of the group said they expected their companies to make more sales this quarter and spend more money on capital purchases. However, 42% said they don't expect to add to their staffs this quarter, and 26% expect to reduce staffing. Consequently, the employment index was 52, or 6 points lower than last quarter and 5 points lower than a year ago. Tomorrow is the final day to be able to register for TEDx Des Moines. TEDx Des Moines is a program that brings together local and national thought leaders to speak on the theme of shift. Shift. I said that right. The event will take place from 9:30 in the morning until 4:30 in the afternoon at the Des Moines Public Library downtown at 1000 Grand Avenue. Registration, by the way, is just $39 and can be done at TEDxDesMoines.com. That's TEDxDesMoines.com. When we come back, we're going to talk with Mike Woody. Mike and I have a conversation about marketing for the fourth quarter. Stay with us. This is Insight on Business, the News Hour.
Support for Insight on Business, the News Hour, comes from the Kramer Law Firm of West Des Moines, the Fireplace Superstore of Urbandale, and Remax Real Estate Concepts with offices throughout the metro.
Welcome back to Insight on Business, the News Hour. You know, each day we try to bring you the business news of the metro along with news you can use when it comes to advertising and marketing. For example, yesterday we talked a bit about creative advertising messages versus non-creative and non-emotional advertising. Today, joining me in the studio to talk about just advertising and marketing for what it's not just, it's the fourth quarter of 2013. Can you believe it? It's Mike Woody. Mike spent 25 years selling television advertising, dealing with clients great and small. He has sold and managed a team of advertising salespeople for the better part of that time. After that, he opened up his own advertising marketing firm. It's called Capital Ideas, and he has a multiple list of local Des Moines clients. Welcome to Inside on Business, Mike. Glad to have you along.
Glad to be here.
Well,
thank you.
Yeah, a couple of advertising. What could go wrong with this?
Everything.
A couple of advertising guys in the same studio talking about advertising and marketing. You know, it's hard to believe we're already in the fourth quarter.
It's stunning.
Yeah. What happened? I mean, just the other day we were shooting off firecrackers or something for the 4th of July, and before that we were shooting off firecrackers for New Year's Eve.
I've got a client tomorrow wants to sit down and talk about 2014.
I'm like, absolutely. Well, good for him, because he or her are at least taking a look at the planning process. You know, I know our clients understand how critical it is to make a huge splash in the next 80 days, but tell us, how important is this time period for local, regional, and national retail and service providers?
Well, a lot of it depends on the product category. If it's retail, as you well know, it could be 50-60+% of their year. This is their year. So you've got, you know, about 60 days to make your year.
And if you don't do it, I mean, it could spell real doom and gloom, because usually first quarter of the year is relatively slow in retail sales, unless they're trying to boost it with after first of the year sales and President's Day sales and on and on and on. I thought we'd take a stab then at offering up some tips that businesses can actually use, you know, put to work to as they work through the fourth quarter. You know, when our agency, Mike, works with a new client, one of the first things we like to ask them, and you just mentioned this, about planning. We like to ask them this question: what marketing programs have worked for you in the past, and what's failed? Why is that such an important question when you're planning any quarter, but especially the fourth quarter? When you're looking at holiday sales, okay, what have I done in the past? What worked? What didn't work? And what do you need to think about?
Well, I think that's how a person grows. A person makes mistakes. They become a better person from that. And businesses are the same way. Unfortunately, for a business, you've got a lot of money out there. You make a mistake, it costs you dearly, both currently and going forward. So you've got to play to your strengths. What has worked in the past? What's the message? What do your customers want to hear from you? And on the other side of the coin, what didn't work? Because if it didn't work, you got to let that go.
You don't want to repeat a failure.
Don't make a mistake.
But how many times? Okay, I've been in this advertising game a long time. You have too. How many times do you see somebody rinse and repeat? And
all the time.
Yeah,
they just go back because it's easy. They don't understand marketing. They won't. Again, I'm going to make general statements that aren't always true. But a lot of times, I'm going to do what I did in the past. I've got a client that spends, and I'll tell you this, and it'll freak you out, $18,000 a month in the Yellow Pages.
Oh, my gosh.
And he's like, I can't do this. This is stupid.
Yeah.
And so he gets out, cuts it in half, and business was a little soft, so he's going back now.
Oh, my. Yeah, I've got one that'll beat that. I've got one that will beat that. You know, it's true confessions time, ladies and gentlemen, at 18 minutes past the hour. I was talking to a prospective client, not a client of ours, somebody that has an in-house marketing person. And this is a financial institution. And the portion of their financial institution happened to be in home mortgages. Mm-hmm. All right? I said something about, you know, you ought to join us with Inside on Business, the news hour. Come along for the ride. You know, this is the only live business broadcast program in the metro. And he says, you know, we'd like to do that, but our marketing director spent a huge amount of money. I mean, like 3/4 of our budget advertising in, I'm going to say it, juice. And they're selling mortgages.
I'm trying to guess how many programs we could do just on print. Because it's an interesting business.
It is an interesting business. We're talking with Mike Woody, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about the tips that you can take with you to work on your business for fourth quarter 2013, even outside of the holiday time, Mike. It's always a good time to review what works and what doesn't. Tip number two, then, is write a plan. I mean, you've got people writing a plan for 2014 already.
Right.
But I think you can still write. In effect, good luck buying ad time in the fourth quarter. But I think you can still write a pretty pervasive plan, pretty good plan.
Oh, absolutely. For yet this year?
Yeah, for that yet this
year.
Oh,
absolutely. And you should. If you're going to spend money this fall, you need to have a plan for how you're going to spend it, where you're going to spend it, and, you know, what your message is going to be.
Mike Woody in studio, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking all about marketing. We're giving you news and business tips that you can actually use in your business. Now, this sounds very sexist, but in reality...
That's our business. It's demographics.
It is demographics. It is. I mean, that's what we do. In reality, women make up the vast majority of buyers during the fourth quarter. While men may drop larger dollars on single items, women tend to buy more, and that adds up to more things. How important is it to segment your marketing message to the demographic which your business best serves, and how do you do that?
Oh, boy, that's a good question.
And we could be here for days, right?
And it's an important question because, you know, you need to know, the first thing you need to know is you need to know who your customer is. And if you don't know who your customer is, you're just wasting money day one. As soon as you know who your customer is, then you can start figuring out, okay, what do they watch? Do they get up early in the morning and watch the news shows because they're getting their kids ready or they're getting ready to go to work? And then once you figure out who they are and what they're watching, then it's easier to find those people.
And here's the danger, in my experience. Mike, you know, you can't always trust the salesperson to tell you the right numbers.
You can rarely trust the salesperson to tell you the right numbers.
It's the job of a salesperson, right, to sell you something that you may or may not want or need. But oftentimes, you really need to do that independent study or independent survey or independent work to find out, okay, ask your customers, where do you hang out? What are you doing? And then ask other people. Use all kinds of tools that are out there. You've got all kinds of online tools to be able to gauge the sentiment of your marketing demographic. And so it's just really critical that you sit there and you plan and you know who your customer is, just like you said, and then make sure you follow them in the right silo.
Well, and your message to them is also critical. Yeah. I used to sit, you know, I would sit at the office and we would have Oprah on in the lobby, and I would see a Ford dealer commercial pitching trucks. Yeah, now, how many people watching Oprah are driving trucks?
Although some of those ladies would like to have a truck.
Well, and I'm sure some of them did.
You know, timing can be everything. As we roll towards the holiday season, there are some critical deadlines that any business needs to keep in mind. So if you're driving down the road right now and you own a business and you're thinking about marketing, here's some things that you ought to keep in the back of your mind. Now, these work for standalone brick and mortar as well as businesses that offer sales online. And if you offer sales online, pay close attention. For example, there's some real deadlines that loom as you go forward. And you got to know these things if you're offering things to the general public. For example, last day for standard shipping. You got to know when that is.
Yes. And include it in your ad if you can.
Exactly. Last day for priority shipping. As you get closer, these shipping dates get...
Right.
So you have to segment this. Last day for overnight shipping. In-store pickup days only. I mean, you know, as you get closer and closer, you're not going to be able to ship.
Right.
And then there's a final one. I like this one here. Online gift cards. If you're selling online, you can almost right up until the jingle bell sounds.
Exactly.
Go ahead and sell something online. How would a business craft a message to make certain that they hit their target with each important date?
Well, I think you have to have, and if you're doing radio, it's a little easier because you can have multiple messages. Right. Television's a little different because of the cost involved with production. But to include those dates in your ads, you know, these are the specific dates. If you come in before this Saturday, we can get it to you by this day. If you come in next week, and just to include that because the consumer is so barraged with stuff every day, and they've got so much going on in their lives right now. You've got to break through that and almost literally grab them and say, it is time for you to act.
And the competition is so steep. It is so steep. I mean, if you're selling a widget, there's another 20 places that are selling the same widget. And if you're not communicating to your core demographic in the proper way, you're not going to be the number one widget seller.
Well, and here's the other thing. And you talk to businesses in town, and they say, well, it's not important to consumers anymore. A local business is important.
It is huge.
But they don't feel that way. And they say, people don't care anymore.
I tell you what you do. I tell you what. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening to this, you think, I do all my shopping online, and local business doesn't mean anything. Come downtown Des Moines on a given Saturday during the summer and watch as 25,000 people flock to downtown Des Moines to buy local.
Right. Farmer's market. It's fascinating.
Bam. And it's not the only farmer's market in the metro. I mean, there's farmer's markets all over the place, and they're all busy. West Des Moines farmer's market, the Junction farmer's market, the Johnson, the Beaverdale. You know,
I'm not saying I don't shop online, because I do. We all do. But I will endeavor to shop local.
Yeah, you know, and this final tip kind of sounds simple, but it's not. If the fourth quarter is critical to your business, make sure you're open on the best shopping days of the period. And because so many people shop online, it's important that you make your store, if you got brick and mortar, available. And because so many people are working so many hours, and both the husband and the wife and the spouses and everybody else in that house is working as many hours as they can, make sure that you're open to be open when their time is.
Right. And I think we have mutual friends at Mr. B Clothing,
absolutely,
one of my clients. And I just got an email blast this week that we are now open on Sundays.
Mm-hmm.
As we move into the fourth quarter.
Because if you're not, you miss that potential customer.
That's
so bad.
The worst thing would be somebody come to your store and you're closed.
Oh.
Because good luck getting them back.
You know, here's another honest, a true story. I'm driving down the road the other day, and I happen to see a business that specializes in office furniture. Okay? Not a good business. You know, I think this is great, but it always puzzled me that they are only open from 9 to 5, Monday through Friday. If I'm a small business owner and I might have some time to go in and shop, when am I going to do this?
Leave 10 minutes early.
Yeah. We want to thank Mike for coming in, and we'll have him back often as Mike and Michael. I guess that would be the way this is. If you want to offer up your marketing ideas or questions, we would invite that. You can always ask a question, and those can come to iobnewsroom@gmail.com. That's iobnewsroom@gmail.com. We'll do the best to go ahead and answer your marketing questions about your business or any business, or we'll do this from time to time. Thanks, Mike, for coming.
All right, thank you.
Really a pleasure. When we come back, we'll share with you who said was the best restaurant in the city of Des Moines and the metro area, and what that Des Moines restaurant was. More with Insight on Business, the News Hour, in just a bit.
Support for Insight on Business, the News Hour, comes from Rick Davis Mortgage Loans of West Des Moines, Bob Oliver Heating and Cooling of Des Moines, and Westside Auto Pros of Des Moines.
You know, 8 or 9 days ago, we asked you to tell us, by using social media, Facebook and Twitter, what was your favorite locally owned restaurant and why? And we heard from dozens of people about dozens of places to eat and why you like them. Now, what happens is a winning restaurant gets a free week of advertising during the News Hour. And we picked up from all the people who nominated the winning restaurant, and we're going to send them a gift so that they can grab a bite from their favorite place to dine. Kind of nice. The best restaurant, according to the numbers, and I wish we had a drum roll, we could do that for you, and I've never been there. Dustin, have you ever, you've probably never been here. Do you eat Asian fusion food? Dustin is our board op. Well, here we go. According to Courtney Tompkins, who's going to win a little gift from us, the Wasabi Chi Asian Fusion Restaurant. Go say that fast 15 times. The Wasabi Chi Asian Fusion Restaurant at 5418 Douglas Avenue in Des Moines is the best restaurant because here's what she says. She says the experience is memorable and it has excellent customer service. So there you go. And there were several people that voted for the Wasabi Chi Asian Fusion Restaurant. 5418 Douglas, we're going to contact those folks and do a couple of ads for them. It should be real fun. Next up, the Wall Street Journal report, Stocks of Local Interest, the report from Agriculture, and then next half hour, Felix Gallagher from FarmServe. We're going to be talking drugs and the folks who dispense them. Stay with us. This is Insight on Business, the News Hour.
This is the Wall Street Journal Report. I'm Bruce Vail. Another batch of positive economic data helped send stocks higher for a second day in a row. The Dow Jones Industrial Average climbed 96 points, closing at 14,930. The NASDAQ Composite rose 36 points. The S&P 500 gained 13. Last month, smartphone maker BlackBerry put itself up for sale, and today the company said it hopes to complete a deal by November. The company said it has held preliminary talks with potential buyers. buyers of part or all of the company and already has narrowed the field. A sales process is expected to begin soon. Qualcomm made a surprise jump into the smartwatch market today by unveiling a new device called Talk. Qualcomm said the gadget, which works as a companion to Android smartphones, will be available in a limited edition later in the year for about $300. Talk was unveiled the same day Samsung unveiled its new smartwatch. This is the Wall Street Journal Report.
Support for Inside on Business the News Hour comes from Mr. B Clothing of Clive and the Warren County Economic Development Corporation of Indianola.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Insight on Business, the News Hour. We've got about 28 minutes now before the top of the hour. Gains outperformed losers today in the stocks of local interest. American Equity closed up by 9 cents at 20.29. Casey's General Store gained 70 at 66.59. DuPont was up 84 at 57.23. Deere & Company gained 42, closing at 84.48. Dice Holdings gained 16, closing at 8.47. EMC Insurance lost, went down and closed at 28.24, off by 26. FBL Financial gained 48 to close at 43.46. Flex Steel was down a penny and closed at 22.49. Gannett up 59 cents at 24.87. HNI Corporation gained 44, closing at 33.57. Heartland Express closed at 14.02. That was up by 11. Lee Enterprise, they gained 6 cents and closed at $2.89. Meredith Corporation was up by 54, closing at 43.50. Principal Financial, 41.84, up by 46. Terra Nitrogen, 210.79. They lost $1.08. United Fire Group, 28.30, off by 53. And West Bank Corporation, down by 19, closing at 12.20. The results of Allendale Incorporated's 24 annual producer survey hold this year's U.S. soybean crop. They say it's going to be much smaller than USDA's last guess. Soybeans are projected at 2.98 billion bushels, with an average yield of 39 bushels per acre, compared to USDA's August 12th guess of 3.255 billion bushels, with a yield of 42.6 bushels per acre. Corn is seen as 13.676 billion bushels with an average yield of 153.4 bushels per acre compared to the most recent USD estimate of 13.7 billion bushels with a yield of 154.4 bushels per acre. The estimated frost-free date for both corn and soybeans is October 1st. Survey was conducted from August 19 to August 30, and the numbers are based on producer-calculated rates and yields in 34 states. December corn closed down at 469.5, down 5.75 cents. November soybeans closed at 1452.5, down 34.25 cents. October soybean meal was down by 1540 at $428.10. October soybean oil closed down 27 points at 43.63. December wheat closed at 6.46 1/4, down by 1 cent. October live cattle, that closed at 126 even, down 20 cents. And October lean hogs up by $1.12 to 89.12. October crude oil closed at 107.23, down by $1.31. September gold closed at $1,389.90, down by 22.10. Once again, as you just heard, the Dow Jones Industrial Average closed up 96.91 points at 14,930.87. We'll be back with more. This is Insight on Business, the News Hour. We'll talk with Felix Gallagher, the owner of Farm Service, a staffing company based here in Des Moines. It's a result of seeing an unserved area and then filling it. They go across the nation, and it's a great local story. That and more yet this half hour with Insight on Business, the News Hour. We'll be right back.
Support for Inside on Business, the News Hour, comes from Rick Davis Mortgage Loans of West Des Moines, Bob Oliver Heating and Cooling of Des Moines, and Westside Auto Pros of Des Moines.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back. This is Insight on Business, the News Hour. We're glad you found us. If you know somebody who's in business, but they have not yet found us, say something. We're on each day, Monday through Friday, right after the 5 o'clock CBS News, with a full hour of interviews, news, and information that business can use. Thanks for being here. Our guest is Dr. Felix Gallagher, a graduate of Drake Pharmacy School, who several years ago saw a need to put pharmacists who were seeking placement in touch with pharmacies who were seeking talented individuals. You might say that he filled an employment prescription for lots of folks. Welcome to the NewsHour, Doctor.
Michael, thank you for having me. It's an honor.
It's an honor for me to have you here, my friend. Felix and I go back several years, and I have found he and his family to be just outstanding citizens here in the Des Moines Metro. And I said, hey, Felix, I'd like you to come in and talk about your company. And he said, gosh, really? And I said, of course, because it's important. How tight is the job in the world of pharmacy, job market?
You know, a few years ago, I could have told you that there was a huge demand and that that there weren't enough pharmacists. That still holds true, especially if you look at the U.S. Bureau of Labor and Statistics. However, we're seeing that with an increased number of colleges of pharmacy across the nation, the use of online degree programs, we're starting to see that need is being met and filled, especially in the major metropolitan areas. However, when you get into rural areas of the state,
that's the way it is.
You start to see some very, very significant needs.
And, you know, if I can allow myself an editorial comment here, most of Iowa anyway, is rural. And in those rural communities out there that have an aging population, an aging in place population, there's a real need to be able to serve that group of people. And oftentimes young graduates or people with families, they say, well, I don't want to go to Pig Flats, Iowa and live. So sometimes those can be challenging, I imagine.
Not only challenging, but also the age demographic. You know, when you get out into rural Iowa and you start to look at access to medication therapy, you start look to how they get their health needs covered. You have to remember that it's not just farmers out there. It's our grandparents and older adults. I mean, Iowa ranks third in many, many age categories as far as elderly is concerned, and usually just following Florida, although we don't have the weather.
Well, it's interesting. For years, Iowa was the number one state in the nation on a pro rata basis with regard to people over older than 85 years of age. And I know my mother, thank God, is 93 years old. And had she lived in a rural part of the world, getting consultation with medicine, and because that's really an important part of this. You know, people who take drugs or several drugs need to know what those drugs are for. And oftentimes, ladies and gentlemen, the doctor may know, but the pharmacist is really tasked with knowing what those drugs are for. Isn't that right?
Absolutely, Michael. That's great insight, but that's also the name of your radio show.
Of course, thank you.
You're absolutely correct. Doctors, they're wonderful. When we're sick, we go see them. When we're hurt, we go see them. They are the masters and the trained individuals at diagnosing a problem and creating a treatment plan. Now, where we come in is understanding what the medication needs are for that specific diagnosis, whether it's epilepsy, heart disease, how old is the individual. Now with pharmacogenomics, we can actually look at how medications affect all the way down to the gene of the individual. Oh, yes. Drake has a fabulous lab that they just created 2 years ago. So we are the medication experts that come in and help with the diagnosis, whereas the doctor specializes in creating that diagnosis and figuring out what the problem is. We come in with mapping the solution with regards to medications, what's going to be taken, how's it going to be taken, and how does it affect everything else that you're taking.
So we've set it up, so to speak, as the importance of qualified, well-trained, well-educated pharmacists. So did you see a niche that was lacking when you created PharmServe? First of all, what is PharmServe? And was it something that you were filling a niche with?
Sure. Let me give you the history of it a little bit. PharmServe was, I am not the brainchild of PharmServe. My partner Shondalette Adams, Dr. Shondalette Adams, was the brainchild of it. She developed it when she came to Iowa from Chicago as a means for her to navigate the employment market, the pharmacy employment market, without having to go through all the HR paperwork. Mm-hmm. I was a pharmacy manager at a major chain and was climbing the ladder as a pharmacist in corporate America. And one day she said, "Felix, do you want to take this on? And I said, "Well, you know what? Why not?" Jumped off. I had always had a dream of owning my own business. Great person to partner with. And we started off with two pharmacists and one client. And now we have, I can't count them anymore, but they're all special to me.
So what is it and what does it do?
What we do, in a nutshell, what we do is we provide pharmacy staffing for pharmacies throughout the country. So some people call it placement. Some people call it headhunting. Some people call it
resourcing
or outsourcing or human resource or capital. But basically what we do is we put pharmacists behind the counters to take care of those patients. Okay.
And you do it not necessarily always full-time work, but also staffing for critical natures and people that are moving on or people that are in flux someplace?
Certainly. We do. We will staff anywhere from as small as a four-hour window all the way up to permanent placement of a pharmacist in a facility. Just some information I got today so people understand. In the United States, there are 2.96 temporary employees, similar to what we do, that are placed every day.
Really?
And that's up 2%. And that includes doctors. That includes doctors. That includes anesthesiologists, nurses, pharmacy technicians.
Why is that, you think?
Well, now we're getting into the business of it. So now you know what I do. Here's the business of it. When you look at the dollars spent as a business owner, you have to look at where your costs are. And a lot of times it's in the people. You know, you need good people to get your job done. Well, with temporary employment, you can use an agency that will carry its own insurance, handle all the benefits, handle all the taxes, handle everything that needs to be handled on one end. And all they have to come in and do is make sure that they do the job that you need them to do and take care of your patients.
And this is across, really, this business model is across all kinds of professions.
Correct.
Right.
Correct. So some of my clients will say, "Well, it's too much money." So my response is, well, take their hourly rate, take their FICA and FUTA, take the training, benefits and vacation, subtract the number, and depending on how valuable your time is, you may be saving a minimum wage.
Wow.
For a short period of time. So it really comes down to what do you need and what do you need to focus on so we can get the people there to get it done so you can keep growing your business or taking care of your patients.
So it sounds like a turnkey operation. So if I'm in a pharmacy, again, wherever it happens to be in the 37 states that you cover, I make contact with you online. Is it an email system or are you searching a database? How does all that work?
Well, if a client wants to reach us for need, they can go on our website at www.farmservestaffing.com. That's with a PH. They can give us a call on our telephone, 515-334-4293. They could send us a letter. It really doesn't matter. If you've got an email address or you can Google us at FarmServe Staffing, you just give us a call or contact us. We do. What makes us a little different from some of the organizations is an extra step that we take, and that is we do a client interview.
Mm-hmm. So you pre-qualify?
I do pre-qualify our clients, just how I pre-qualify our employees, because we want to make sure that we understand what the needs are. You know, it's an extra step up front, but it improves outcome in the end.
Well, I know that you, because I know you personally, I know that you travel all over the place. You're always gone to see them. Is that what you're doing? Visiting some of your people out there?
I am, but through other divisions of our company. Earlier this year, I was in Canada, as well as Detroit. Made it to Los Angeles around the second quarter. Took a trip down to Florida as well as New York. Some of that was fun.
I can't imagine anybody going to Florida.
But we also have a division called the Maven RX.
I was going to ask you about it. Okay, yeah. What is Maven RX?
A Maven RX, if you dissect the name, and here comes some medical terminology. If you dissect the name, a Maven RX, well, a, and then Maven comes from Malcolm Gladwell's tipping point, which means expert, disseminator of knowledge. So an expert, RX is pharmacy. So it's an expert in pharmacy. And what we've done is we've created a online community for pharmacists and other healthcare professionals to join the community and discuss best practices. We share information about newest trends, latest issues. Just 2 months ago, I was talking to a pharmacist or communicating with a pharmacist in Nigeria, discussing some bombings that were happening there and how it was affecting. We were talking about with Italians about how the unions were affecting, were being affected because some of the pharmacists were having some problems with reimbursement. It's amazing.
It's a real global thing.
It's a very, very global thing. We had a webinar for men's health, and we had people, pharmacists and healthcare professionals join us, not just from the U.S., but from Bangladesh, Hawaii, Rome.
This is not only a Maven RX. I mean, many disciplines out there have these types of, and I'm going to cheapen it a little bit by saying chat rooms, but it's more than a chat room. It's a learning experience back and forth, and where people ask questions and they get into the, so it's much, much more than a chat room, but basically if you wanted to, anyway, it can very well be described as that, where people, whether they're physicians, I mean, it goes across the spectrum. I know farmers that are into this as well, where they have these communities, online communities, where they assist each other in best practices, and they're astounding. How do you market PharmServ?
Pretty well. Early on, it was shotgun marketing. I send it to everybody and ask my mother to please call as many people as she knew. But there's very strategic ways that we've become more refined. I'm proud to say that earlier this year we partnered with the largest pharmacy association in the state, the Iowa Pharmacy Association. So they're assisting with marketing there. We also have another partnership with CPR, which is Combined Pharmacy Resources, which is a buying group. We have several other partnerships nationwide that have assisted us in marketing. A Maven RX also is a vehicle where people can go and find us. And then your standard letters, emails. But the one thing that's worked the best, birthday cards.
Really? You know, that is called, in our business, that's called relationship marketing. Really, it is. It's a relationship. So are you actually sitting there and writing out a card?
We actually sit there, write a card, and sign it.
Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, if you own a business, this could be the golden nugget of the day right now. This is called relationship marketing to those of us that do this for a living. Because so few people, and Felix, you've done it absolutely, it's a great rejoinder here. Because so few people actually send anything by mail or actually take the time to handwrite something, those things, A, get opened, and B, get saved. Because people go, wow, somebody took the time to write a note.
It's certainly
pretty powerful.
No, and I appreciate, and the other thing it does is it allows for your phone call to be answered.
Absolutely, because there's a relationship.
There's a relationship, but not only that, there's also the expectation that, maybe he won't call because he needs something.
Hey, as a pharmacist, Dr. Felix Gallagher is in the studio with us. We're talking about PharmServ and A-Maven RX. But as a pharmacist, Felix, what's the one surprising fact most consumers don't know about drugs?
Ooh, that's we might have to save that one for the next call. But, the one thing I would tell a consumer is to understand that their rights regarding medication and access to medication therapy is constantly under battle between legislation, between the business aspect of pharmacy, and not so much at the local level. You're seeing it more at the national level with the insurance companies and the pharmacy benefits managers, which I'm sure consumers have no idea what that is.
I bet they do.
But let me give you 15 seconds because we are on the radio. You've got your insurance company.
Uh-huh.
You've got your local pharmacy. Okay. You sign up for insurance with this company. You go to X pharmacy to pick up your prescription. In between the insurance company and that local pharmacy, there's what's called a pharmacy benefits manager. And that pharmacy benefits manager makes sure that the insurance company's billing and reimbursement and everything is done properly. Well, that part of the pie, that pharmacy benefits manager controls what medications get approved, don't get approved based on these parameters. So when a patient goes to the pharmacy to pick up a prescription and it says you can't pick it up or the copay's changed or whatever, it's the pharmacy benefit manager right there because everything has to go through them before you can get it.
I've had that happen with my mother several times where it's, well, you can't order that yet. You can't have that just yet because somebody is pulling the off switch in between.
And as you look at the bigger conglomerates that are coming in and continuing to get a little bit bigger, I'm not a proponent for one or the other, but what you do see is that some of these bigger conglomerates, these bigger chains that have mail order, that have centralized filling for prescriptions, they may actually force the patient to go to a specific pharmacy and only get it through the mail or charge you extra to go to another pharmacy. These are things that I tell patients is you have to fight for these rights.
And you need to be aware of.
And you need to be aware of.
Yeah. Our guest has been Dr. Felix Gallagher. He is the man behind PharmServe and AMAven Rx. Thank you so much for coming in, Felix.
Michael,
really,
it's my pleasure.
All right. Felix Gallagher. Ooh.
I don't know if you knew this, Michael, since we're talking about friends and relationship building. Did you know that today was our good friend Desmond Adams and Shondalette Adams' anniversary?
Again? It's already here?
Yes.
All right. Dr. Shondalette Adams and our good friend Desmond Adams, happy anniversary. We should... If I had the song, I'd sing it to you. Thanks, Felix, for coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you always for pointing out some great relationship ideas. This is Insight on Business. When we come back, we're going to take a look at the Midwest Economic Outlook, that story, and a social media story to boost business with your business. This is Insight on Business. We'll be back right after this.
Support for Insight on Business, the News Hour, comes from the Creamer Law Firm of West Des Moines, the Fireplace Superstore of Urbandale, and REMAX Real Estate Concepts with offices throughout the metro.
Welcome back to Insight on Business, the News Hour, an economic index compiled from a survey of business leaders in 9 Midwest and Plain State. Rose slightly last month, the first increase since March. The Mid-American Business Conditions Index hit 53.8 in August, compared with 53.5 in July. The survey covers Arkansas, Iowa, Kansas, Minnesota, Missouri, Nebraska, North Dakota, Oklahoma, and South Dakota. For those of you who are into speed, the Iowa Speedway in Newton will be lighting it up this weekend with the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series. And they're expecting about 40,000 visitors. This is this coming Sunday. Meanwhile, the ARCA series is in Newton on Saturday, and there'll be about 20,000 people there. The Iowa Wild's going to be playing an inter-squad green and white game on Wednesday, October 2nd. It's open for the public. It's free, by the way, so we're going to be talking more about that as time goes on. Last week, international speaker Karen McCullough said something that we've known for a long time. She said, quote, "I've been doing social media events for 5 years and have come to the conclusion that while business owners, managers are curious about using it to boost their business, in the end, the vast majority are simply not going to use social media." It's a real head shaker for us, and she's right. I, too, have been on the social media speaking circuit for years, and it's always the same reaction. Wow, this is great stuff. I don't have the time to do it. I'm not a computer whiz. Besides, who cares? It's a head shaker, ladies and gentlemen. Here's a business tip for you. Give a person the ability to communicate with his or her current prospective customers at a price that anybody can afford, and you can't afford to say no. Even though some small businesses are doing a superior job, we can prove the ROI small and local businesses like, listen to this, Cafe de Scala, right here in Des Moines. Cafe de Scala, where they tweet 5 to 8 times a day and have a very active Facebook page, both with thousands of followers and friends. Yummy's Bakery, based in Grinnell, that uses Facebook as their major source of advertising, and it works big time. The Urbandale Chamber of Commerce on Twitter. You can find them at Urbandale Chamber. They joined in 2009, and over the past 2 years have been on fire with social media, tweeting many times a day on their Facebook page. This is a Chamber of Commerce, kids, 1,400 likes, and they're using it to share information. Agriculture? Sure. Female rancher. Her name is Annie Haven, who manufactures all-natural premium soil conditioners from manure It's at Greensoil on Twitter with dozens of conversations each day and 11,000 followers with whom she interacts with daily. And how about this? Domestika. It's a small indie craft store. It's at I Love Domestika on Twitter. And right on Facebook, they've got over 3,000 likes. It's a way to communicate with your customer and your customer base. We could go on and on about success stories and people who have taken the time to plan their social media marketing and have done a fantastic job. So if you don't believe me, this is what I do for a living. If you don't believe me with regard to the ROI of social media, go ahead, ask them. All right? But for some reason, so many business professionals say "niet" when it comes to social media. We don't get it. Do you? Thanks so very much for joining us. This has been Insight on Business, the News Hour. We're here each and every day, Monday through Friday, between 5 and 6 p.m. You can catch us all over the place. We're on Twitter. It's at IOB_NewsHour. And at Facebook, all you have to do is look for us. We'll be right there. It's Insight on Business, the News Hour. For all of us associated with Insight on Business, thanks so very much for being here. Be safe, be well, be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man, and happy Rosh Hashanah. It's 5774 tonight. Lashana Tova, Tikkatenu. Bye-bye.